speak to us this morning. He is going to tell us a little bit about himself. I believe he knows Jennifer, and that's the connection here. So we just, I'm glad that you are here today, and come on up.
All the way to, yeah, it works. Okay, good. Well, good morning. I am a good friend of Jennifer Hayes. I work with her at Fairfield Elementary School. I'm a security guard there. My career, or my job, really is a firefighter for the city of Fort Wayne. I've been on for almost 22 years. But Jennifer has been bugging me, hunting me down, sending me nasty emails and texts that she really wants me to speak at her church. And me and my wife, we go to a Greater Progressive Baptist Church, and we're very busy at our church. We have three services. We sing in the praise team and in the choir. I am a newly appointed deacon now. So I have some additional responsibilities. I teach Sunday school, and sometimes I teach Bible study. So that's my background. I've been in church all my life, since I was a kid. I don't remember not being in church. I've always studied the Bible. I'm really not a person who likes to speak, but because what God gives me, there's an overflow sometimes, I have something to say. So for today, I like to, just briefly for a time, is that really 10:39? Is that right? That's the real time? Okay, all right. So I will be, I'm going to try to do 25 to 30 minutes because we do have to go back and sing at 11:30. So some parts I might have to skip over or just hit it real quick and not talk about it. But I want to turn your attention to Matthew, the book of Matthew, if you have your Bibles, if you have them on your phone, or if you have the book of Matthew. And I really did not have a title at the beginning when I started thinking about what I was going to say. I asked Jennifer, "What do you have a theme? Do you want me to talk about anything in particular?" She said, "Whatever the Lord leads you to talk about." So I start praying, and I study already, and God gave me a title that. That you may be wondering, where did he get that from? But it says, how to be a better lover. How to be a better lover. And I know for some of you who are maybe have a different mindset, you're like, what kind of talk is he going to be talking about? How to be a better lover. Well, if you turn to Matthew, and I'll read it. I have it on my phone also. Go to Matthew. I want to teach a little bit about how to be a better lover for the rest of 2018 and 2019. Matthew chapter 22, starting at verse 37. And Jesus said unto them, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And this is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." That's the word of God that I'm going to be speaking from. I was going to give you some background scripture, but just to give you a quick little, Matthew was a Jew, he was a tax collector, and he was a disciple of Jesus. The book of Matthew describes Jesus as a king. We know that. You may be in Bible study, we've learned that the gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, depict Jesus as four different things. Matthew as a king, Mark as a servant, Luke as a son of man, and John as the son of God. So, and earlier, I don't know if I lost my mic. Yeah, I think I did. But anyway, you can probably hear me, right? Everybody can hear me? Okay. So, so Matthew is in this gospel. In the beginning of Matthew, there's a bunch of people asking questions, and they want to know from Jesus. They're trying to test Jesus. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, they're trying to test him. They're trying to ask him all these questions and trying to trick him and trying to get him into something, and they're not quite sure. Let's see how it starts. If he really is saying who he is. But Jesus, who is God, is so clever that he answers all their questions. And they were amazed at some of the things that he was saying. Now, in near verse 34, the Pharisees questioned Jesus about the greatest commandment of the law. Because Pharisees really like to talk about the law. They really like to talk about what the law says. And Jesus said, the first commandment, to love God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and with all thy strength, which is in Luke, and then to love your neighbor as yourself. So I asked the question, how can you be a better lover in 2018 and starting in 2019? How can you be a better lover to your family, to your friends, to the world? Well, first you have to do is you have to recognize real true love. You have to realize that love is an action, and you have to reciprocate God's love to him and to others. Now you say, well, recognize it. I know God loves me. If you're a Christian, you probably realize that God loves you. But I did a Sunday school lesson. You may not know the depth or the height that God loves you. A lot of people say, well, I know God loves me, but they really don't understand. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. The so love is the part that I like. He so loved this world that he gave his only begotten son. Only begotten in the Greek is one of a kind son. Now, I thought about this. Some people here have some sons. Anybody? Who has a son here? You have a son? Is that him? The singer? He's a son, right? All right, okay, this is what I need you to do. I need you to bring him up front, and we're going to have to kill him. You all right with that? You all right with that?
I don't think so.
You sure?
Yeah.
But I know you love him, but he needs to die for the world. Don't you want to? That's enough? That's enough? Anybody else got a son? Anybody else willing to give up their son? I have a son, too, and I think about it, but yeah, I want to do a lot of things to my son, but I don't want to give him up for the world. God, who's omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient, that means he's all-powerful, knows everything, and is everywhere, gave up his only begotten son, check this out, for the world. Now, it would be cool if he gave us up and we were good people. But we all know that we all are sinners. And God is also holy. And I talked about this in Sunday school earlier, because a lot of people like to say, well, God is love and he loves everybody. Yes, he does. But everybody forgets about the other attributes of God. God is holy. That means he can't have sin with him. And since you're a sinner, you needed something to sacrifice for your sin. And God sent his only begotten son for you, that you may be saved. Romans 5:8 says that God commended his love unto us, yet that while we were sinners. So even though you were doing what you were doing, acting the way you were acting, he knew already who you are. He died for you. And that's the kind of love that you got to think about or realize what kind of love that God has for you. God made provisions for us through his sacrifice. Now, how does he reveal his love? He reveals his love through his word, John 1:1. The word, it says that in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. He's talking about Jesus. Jesus is the word. And through his Holy Spirit, His Holy Spirit, when you receive the Holy Spirit, when you receive to become a Christian, God is living inside of you. So He confirms His love to you, one, through His Word, through the book, through the Bible, and He confirms His love for you through the Holy Spirit, God living inside of you. So you know that. So what's the problem? People think they have sinned so much that they can't be saved. That's the problem with the world. Some people think, I've done so much that God can never possibly save me. But God loved them, and I said this before, so loved them, and He commended His love toward them that He sacrificed Himself for them. But there's another problem. This is a problem that's a little bit deeper. So a lot of times we have people who say, well, I can't come to God because I'm not clean. I'm not right. I'm not ready. When I was studying this lesson, something came to me. And I wrote it down and I left it in my car. And I hope I can remember it. I left it in my other car. God doesn't need you to be perfect. He needs you to be available. God does not need you to be perfect. He needs you to be available. He's not looking for perfect people because you can never be perfect. The only perfection you get is through sanctification, through the work of Him living inside of you. So He's not looking for somebody who's perfect. So when you're talking to people out in the world, when you're talking to your son and your daughters, your nephews and nieces, to your mom and dad, your brothers and sisters, He doesn't need anybody perfect. He needs somebody available. The other problem that we have is people think they are all right with God. We're seeing this a lot today. A lot of people say, well, I don't need to go to church. I don't need that God. I'm all right. I'm pretty good. I give money. I treat people right. I do good things. They think they don't need saving and are not good enough to go to heaven by being good or doing good things. Isaiah 64 says, But we are an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are like filthy rags. So when you think you're doing some great things, when you think you're doing all these good things, they're really nothing compared to the holiness of God. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Sin is missing the mark. When you talk about sin, sin is missing the mark. There's a mark that God has, and it's perfect. And we all miss that mark. We never get there. So when you talk about sin, all of us make mistakes. Now, I would say this. If you are a Christian, you should not be making those mistakes ongoing. Once you become saved, your sin level should go down. Some of the things that you did before you were saved, you should not be doing anymore. That's the sanctification process. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's Ephesians 2. It's one of my favorite verses, 2 and 8. It says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and it's not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So just going through that lesson, for by grace, you've been saved by grace. Grace is unmerited favor. That means my man who sung, what's his name? Owen, there's nothing that you can do to be saved. God did it for you already. He's already done it for you. He did it on the cross. So if you look at it, the picture is God did what He did. He saved you already. He reached down and He has His hand out. And all you need to do is reach up and receive what He's done for you. But what a lot of people do is they slap His hand away or they turn their back. Because they don't want to receive that. Because like I mentioned before, a lot of people think that they're all good. But we know in the Bible it says all of sin comes short of the glory of God. If you want to think about it a little bit better, there was a song that we used to sing when I was a little kid. It's Love Lifted Me. It says, I was sinking deep in sin. I was far from the peaceful shore. Very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. That means I was in my mess, doing my thing, and I didn't even know I needed to be saved. But the Master, that's God, that's Jesus, heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. That means all I had to do was cry out to Him and He saved me. And that's what you have to do today. Now, some people don't even know what love is. When I was sitting in the office back there, I seen it says commitment to the well-being of others without conditions. I found a definition from Cooper Abrams. He says purposeful commitment to a sacrificial action for another. To understand love, the Bible talks about four different types of love. And I don't know if this church is probably familiar. Are y'all a worded church? I don't know. But we talk about a lot of Greek and Hebrew at my church. And there are four different types of love. So if you were taking notes, if you're writing some of these down, you never heard these, the four different types of love. You've heard love as agape love. Agape love is divine love, action totally being committed to the well-being of others without regard for the worthiness unto death. It is self-sacrificial. Agape love is where God wants us to be. He wants us to have that agape love towards others. That's the highest form of love. Now, check this out. There are three other types of love. Only one is mentioned in the Bible. Other one is mentioned in the Bible is phileo. This Greek word phileo means brotherly or friendship type of love. It refers to a fervent love for another person. So I have love for all you guys. Even though I don't even know you, I have a love for you. It's a phileo type of love. Eros is referred to as sexual love. Sorry, kids. Can I say that? Sexual love. Sorry. Y'all, do you hear it? Don't giggle when I say sexual love. Eros is a form of sexual love. And that form of love, we have to talk about it because that is the love that is between a husband and a wife. It is not between a girlfriend or a boyfriend. It's not to your hookup or your boo. It's a love that is described between a husband and a wife, eros. And then lastly, storge, that's a natural familial love between a parent and a child. You can never talk to a mom or a dad and say, well, I don't know if I love my kids. I know I got a son that's 28. He just came back. He's probably laying on my couch right now with his feet on the couch playing video game. But guess what? I love my son. I can't do nothing about it. I can't help myself. I love him. And that's storge. I have a natural love. That's a natural love for a parent to a child. So to continue some of this description of love, I found something. You probably heard this before. And I'm going to give you just a brief description of what love is. This is the biblical meaning of love by Cooper Abrams. And it's coming from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 4 through 8. I'm sure you've heard these, but I just wanted to point them out. So when you talk to your sons and your daughters about getting married, when you talk to your sons and daughters about getting married, and dads, you talk to your daughters and say, you want to find a husband that's going to love you. These are the attributes that you want to have. Ladies talking to your daughters about loving your husband. These are the attributes you want to have. It says love is. Now, remember, the description that you had inside was a noun. It was talking about what love is. But these, love is actually an action. When you say you love somebody, there should be some action to loving somebody. And 1 Corinthians talks about it. It says love is patient. Love is kind. And you've probably heard some of these. Love is not jealous. It envieth not. Love does not brag. It doesn't vaunt it not up itself. Love is not arrogant. It doesn't puff itself up. Love does not act unbecoming. Does not behave seemingly. Even when being boastful, rude, or overbearing will get you attention and allow you to get your own way. Love conforms to what is right, fitting, and appropriate to the situation in order to honor the Lord. Love does not seek its own. Love is not provoked. Love does not take into account a wrong suffering. I wanted to stop right there. Love does not take into account a wrong suffered, thinking no evil. Even when everyone seems to be against you, or when people openly attack you, love does not hold a grudge against someone. Love forgives, chooses not to bring up the past wrongs and accusations or retaliation, does not return evil for evil, does not indulge in self-pity. Love covers a multitude of sins. Love does not rejoice in unrighteousness. Love rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. Love endures all things. And love never fails. So if you want to talk about love, you want to talk about love to your spouse, to your kids, I suggest that you get 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8, and you go over what love really is. Because we live in a day today that people, society, social media has defined love as something else. And the church, it's the church's responsibility to be able to show what real love is. And we know it comes from God. So I mentioned before that in this piece that we know that we need to recognize love. We know that I got to find my paper. It's right here. Realize what love is. But here's the thing that's hard. We have to learn how to reciprocate love. For those who don't know, anybody in here an English major? No? Okay. Reciprocate. What does reciprocate mean?
To repeat it back.
Give it back, right? Give it back. So, God loves you, right? God loves you. Now, you don't think that God wants you to love Him back? I would suggest that some people try to love others, but they don't even love God. Now, I made this statement before. Y'all brothers? Okay. Okay. All right. Twins? 16 and 15? Okay, good. All right. Okay, brothers. Your brother does something bad sometimes. You don't like them, but you still love them, right? Mom and dad get on your nerves. You don't like what they say, but you still love them, right? God says this. How can you love me when you don't even love somebody? How can you love somebody that you haven't seen, which is God, when you don't even love somebody that you see right in front of you? That's what he says. He said, how can you do that? You got somebody you can see, and you say you love me, and you don't love this person who you can see, but you say you love me. He said, that's impossible. So you have to learn how to love God. And I want to suggest that there are some areas how you can do that. As soon as I find my notes, they're all... Okay, here we go. We love God by being obedient. John 14:15. If you love me, keep my commandments. And John 14:21. He that hath commandment hath my commandments, keep them. And he that loveth me shall love my Father. Shall be loved by my Father. Now you say, well, how do I show love for God? I like this illustration. You love God by surrendering and by submitting. You love God by showing an act of surrendering and submitting. And I like this illustration because we study the book of John, mainly John 15, at my church 2 years ago. We studied it all year. And out of that whole year, what I got was this piece on surrendering and submitting. If you want to show love to God, you got to surrender and you submit. Now you say, what does that mean? I like it, this analogy that I use. You're being chased by the police. Okay? The police are chasing you. You driving your whip, you in your car driving your whip, and they chasing you. And they're calling you like, hey, pull over. And you're like, oh, I'm not pulling over. And that's how God is. He's like, pull over. I need you to pull over. He wants you to surrender. He wants you to stop. And he's like, pull over. And you're like, no, I'm driving my whip. I'm doing what I want to do. You ain't going to get me. Finally, you say, I give up. Right? And you pull over. And he says, get out the car. And you say, okay. And you put your hands up. Right? That's a surrender. Right? You're surrendering. I surrender. Now, when God grabs you or the police grab you, you start resisting. You start fighting. You haven't submitted. You surrendered. You caught me. You got me. We in this. All right, I'll just, you got me. But you haven't submitted. And a lot of times what we've done in the Christian church is we surrendered. Oh, God, I love you. I want to be with you. But we are not submitted. Submission means that you start doing what they tell you to do. That's when the cops pull you over. You surrender. They got you, but you are not doing what they tell you to do. And a lot of times in the church, Christians are surrendered. Oh, God got me. But we're not submitted. We're not obeying. And God wants your obedience. He wants you to do what he tells you to do. So when he tells you to open up that business and be out on faith and go do what I tell you to do, and you keep saying, well, the money ain't right. Oh, I don't know if I want to do it. I don't know if people are like my product. No, he's been telling you to do this, but you just choose not to do it. You're not being obedient. When he tells you to talk to that person, that coworker that you work with about Jesus, and you just keep saying, I just don't know enough of the Bible. I just don't know. No, he's telling you, you need to be obedient to his word. Submission and submitting. That's how we are obedient. When we love God, we have the ability to love others. 2 Timothy 1:7, God equips us through his Holy Spirit. 2 Timothy says, God has not given you a spirit of fear. He's given you a spirit of what? Love, power, and a sound mind. So you have it. He's giving you the power to go out into the world and tell people about Jesus. You just have to activate it through obedience. The power of the word also helps us. John 13:34, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. And by this, they'll know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. That's John 13:34. Romans 12:9 says, love must be perfect. Love must be perfect. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. You can't love somebody the wrong way. Romans 12:9 says. I want to conclude with some points. I made this mention that before I began, I said, you probably were wondering, like, how can I be a better lover? You can be a better lover if you recognize that God loved you so much that he gave his only begotten son for you to die on the cross for your sins. That's first, recognize it. You need to realize what love is. It's not what the world's view. It's not what Mom and Dad have said. It's what God's Word has said. That's what love is. And then finally, if you really want to be a better lover, we need to be able to reciprocate that love back to God. And then he also says, give it back to everybody else. And we can do that by submitting and by surrendering unto God. That's all I have. It was a short lesson. This is what Miss Jennifer told me to bring to you. That's what God gave me to me. And I hope that what I said, that something that I said, that you received that, and that for the new year, you will learn how to love people and love God better. Thank you.